We would be honored if you would join us.
Oh, Jabba.
You may fire when ready.
Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 1,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello there.
Håkon?
Oh.
You want to chime in here?
You've got to say hello.
Oh, hi. No, I'm a hi guy.
You're a hi guy now. You're part of the show.
Kind of guy that'll only be mine.
I'm a part of the show. Or this show.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
We have started to call you a host. I'm a host, you're a host, AIDS a parasite.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. I'm only here for the internet dollars.
Yeah, all the filthy internet dollars.
Yeah. All that free money.
Yeah, internet money.
Yeah. So are we going to talk about the lethal weapon moment that we just had, or are we waiting to do that until later in the show?
What are you talking about?
Okay, so listeners don't know this, but there's a system for queuing in to this. So we have a recording system. We press record, and then Gisli counts us in. It's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and then we all say 1, 2, 3 together. And this happened. I think we made it work for the third time. This time, so it's like, is it on 3 or after 3, and then go or what?
Yeah. Oh fuck it! Let's just 1, 2. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, I am building a mini system with mixer, so I will be able to record all the voices at the same computer.
I don't think Gisli is the same avid Lethal Weapon fan as you and I.
No.
I know what you're talking about.
Maybe. I'm not entirely convinced. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think he appreciates the level of coolness that this, this kind of comment is. But it was given time. It'll come around.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I mean, some of our listeners might only know Lethal Weapon from like the TV shows, which are terrible.
No, don't. That's not the same thing. It has to be the crazy guy, Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, yeah.
The real Riggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, okay, well, but happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to mention that. It's our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
For this show. Whoop, whoop.
What was it, 29th of last year?
Yeah, 29th. We are recording now on 24th. So the next episode will be... will be aired on the 29th. Monday.
That's a pretty big deal.
I feel like I accomplished something. I'm not just sure what it is. But yeah, I feel good regardless.
Well, it's been a good year. You started this podcast. You got nominated for a prize. And you've had a great run.
Yeah.
Yeah. And imagine that. I only wanted to be X-Wing famous. That was my only mission.
Are you there yet?
Do you feel like you accomplished that?
In some part, yeah. In some part. People, no, I'm only kidding. I just want to talk more X-Wing.
I cannot relate.
That's probably my main goal, actually. Because me and Aid started this podcast, and before the podcast, we kind of phoned each other almost every day.
Almost
talking
day. Sometimes
about
twice
X-Wing.
A day.
Yeah, sometimes twice a day talking about X-Wing. So I mentioned one time, why don't we just make a podcast?
Just record this shit.
Record this shit. And yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
And we will receive presents if you like to give us.
Yes.
presents.
Birthday presents for us.
Oh, you're accepting birthday presents. Present. You did not want me to sing the birthday song for you, but you're accepting presents.
I'm not sure how to feel
about that, actually, guys.
I said okay.
It was Aid's idea to say no.
I haven't actually gauged your... if you're bad enough to sing in this episode, because the only other singer on this episode is me. So that, we know how that went.
I would like to hear a song. I mean,
I'll just go for it. You mean?
I have to get over this. You know, we'll see.
Okay. I know some other podcasts in French language don't like singing. That's why we like to sing a lot.
Yes.
Interesting.
I'm coming around. How come? Go for it, man.
Just do your thing. Go for it.
No. Well.
Yeah.
No, I'm shy now.
Same or no balls.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Soul Squadron Podcast. Happy birthday to you.
Yay!
That's so cute.
That was nice.
I liked it. But you are by far not, you know, don't have the credentials to sing in this podcast. Your voice is too nice.
Well... There's a reason why I haven't sung.
Yeah, that's the exact reason why you should sing in this podcast.
Yeah,
you have to have a certain level of badness.
People would stop listening to me.
All right.
Yeah, or the podcast.
That's okay. I don't listen to you anyway.
No, I know.
You assume too much.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I say Aid because Haukon is new. He hasn't been with us the whole time. It's his third episode.
Yeah.
So I like having him here. He makes sense. What do you think?
Yeah. He's our anchor.
Yeah, he's smart. I'm not smart.
He's
so
smart. He knows stuff.
He knows stuff.
Yes.
I'm just gonna stay silent and drink all this in. Okay. I'm loving it, by the way.
His head's getting bigger. That's fine.
Okay, Aid. Yeah. After all this year, this 1 year, sorry, this birthday, is there anything that stands out for you? I'm not only talking about the podcast. I'm talking about just what has happened in...
What we've done as a Thule.
Yeah, as a Thule.
We made a few shows, and we actually got some listener base, which was nice.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but hey.
Do you want to touch on these stats? When we got download milestone in our 10th episode. Let's just leave it at that.
It's okay. I started writing something down, but really the biggest thing is when we went to Copenhagen, I think.
Yeah, Copenhagen system open.
Yeah, that was quite a milestone. Going there and people actually recognize you, and we met people that listened to us. Yeah. And that was
surreal.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Was it the first time you met somebody who listened to you?
No.
Outside of Iceland, yes.
Outside of Iceland, yeah.
I was like, I was talking to someone, and he's like, "Oh, you're Thule guys. I listen to you guys." And I was like, "Why?" I think I actually dropped that. So, but I was like, thank you. But it was fun. It was interesting.
Yeah. And obviously our latest Worlds tour.
Yeah, that was World tour
to Minneapolis. Sorry, tour, yeah, 2018.
From the world. Last year, this year.
Yeah, that was big.
Because we were watching the announcements on, you know, that were being streamed live while you guys
were
on the plane.
The Goldies.
That, you know,
yeah,
that must
loud.
Have been like a time warp or something that you guys went through. You got on a plane, there was one version of X-Wing, and you got off it, and everything had changed, right?
Yeah. And the internet had exploded.
Yeah. Yep. And then there was a recording from the
airplane. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We actually had Fan Langelang in our show then.
Yeah, and you were.
And we were talking about 2.0, how the 2.0 would probably not become quite yet. I mean, all of us have heard the rumors about 2.0. But
probably not.
No, probably not. Yeah, it was. It was funny to plug into the Wi-Fi at the motel we were on, and just our phones exploded. Yeah. I had like 15 messages from different people. Did you hear? Did you hear?
Holy shit.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
But that was exciting, and obviously we have a new game now, and that's just awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Other standouts, the regionals we had Reykjavik.
Yep. Håkon was obviously the TO.
Yep.
The organizer.
Yeah, that was really fun. That was a really cool day.
Yeah.
Me.
Well run.
Me, Ait, and Jasper, we all made top four.
Mm-hmm.
Which was nice. None of us won, though.
No. In the stress list. God damn it.
The stress bunker. Mm,
Yeah.
It's been a great year, and hopefully a better next year. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Should we stop talking about our birthday? Start doing some serious content.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Eight. You there?
I'm there. I said yes.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna start with some house cleaning. on your part.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it was at the time.
And we have
question.
Sorry. I have to say, we have had a lot of comments because of this.
That's fine.
Ait, you messed us up.
But
all publicity.
You were
supposed
to put this in the show notes.
Oh, it's
me?
There.
That was Ait who was supposed to do that.
Oh, okay. Because
what?
I mean, we realized this error just after we went off air.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, but go ahead.
Me?
No.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, I had a wondering about the gunner slot, and there was no gunner that actually referenced the double-sided, double-arc turret. And there is a little clause in the, what is the rules, and it says, when you have a double-arc turret, treat it as two single-arc turrets.
Yeah. So that's that.
That's that. But actually, I've been listening to a few podcasts, and there have been other wonderings about that in other podcasts. Not to the extent that we did it, but you know, I'll just say.
So basically, what you're saying, out of all the stupid podcasts, we are the
stupidest. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean,
we're not alone, but we won the Special Olympics.
You have to stand out in some degree. I mean, I think it's fine.
Fine.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We're done with that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we didn't have in those show notes today are the two articles that came out today and yesterday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You guys want to talk about it?
Let's.
Oh, should we start with the article that came out today? The Resistance
Okay.
article?
Okay.
Do it.
Because, A, it... Abe has to be a little bit excited about that.
Yeah.
Right.
I was excited for the, you know, for the very part of the resistance in second edition. Yeah. And now it looks like Ray might have a new best friend.
Yeah.
Very, very lovely, lovely Poe. Poe Dameron.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. We had the article called A New Classic. That's talking about the T-70 blister pack. The new T-70.
Yes.
Okay. We had Poe. Poe looks like it's going to be a monster. It's initiative 6. It says, after you perform an action, you may spend one charge to perform a white action, treating it as red. So he basically has push the limit, old push the limit.
Mm-hmm. Which is awesome.
Yeah,
which is any awesome, action, yeah. And awesome. Then you can perform any action. It's just push the
limit.
Yeah. Obviously, we haven't seen the green, how the dial is yet, okay. I think.
I'm trying to remember if the T-70 didn't have a little bit more green actions than the T-65 in the old version. I think it did. So
moments, you mean?
Yeah.
The dial was a lot better. Mm-hmm. I remember
not
that.
Not a lot. It had like
it
one,
had
two,
the
three T-roll. Green, and you have T-roll. Well, how quickly you forget.
Yeah.
I've played this year, honest. Yeah, it had the 1-2-3 forward and the one banks green. And the T-65 were similar. It looked like they were a little bit faster. No, same. Just having one and two forward and one banks. So
okay. 1.0 doesn't matter.
No.
Okay.
It was just a reference.
Yeah,
it is. And yeah. After that, I mean the T-65 in 2.0 has the.
As you listeners can hear, we are kind of just reading through the article now.
Yeah, it just dropped.
I just skimmered over it once, so
yep. But
okay.
Yeah, but it was an interesting point because the 1 and 2 banks in T-65 and 2.0 are green.
Mm-hmm.
So they added the 2 banks to the T-65.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was similar.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the T-70 might have the 1 and 2 banks and 1, 2, 3 forward.
Blue. Yeah, it's gonna have a T-roll. We know that.
Yeah, it is pretty sure, since the T-65 has it.
Yeah.
And it's gonna have a 3 heart at the looks of it from the photos.
From the photos, but
yeah.
But we have known for these photos to be a little bit inaccurate.
A little bit?
Yeah, you know, a little bit inaccurate. Yeah.
Let's say I haven't read through the article yet, so I haven't figured out what the you know, usual article error is.
No.
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, okay, we have Poe. Poe will be a monster.
Yep.
And obviously, all the T-70s have the weapons hard point on them. They can equip cannon, torpedo, or a missile upgrade. So one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then there's integrated S-foils, open and closed.
Closed.
Open is just you can flip this card, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the open one is you gain a barrel roll and a boost and a link to a red barrel roll. And it says while you perform a primary attack, if the defender is not in your bullseye arc, roll one fewer attack die. Before you activate, you may flip this card.
Yeah, it's not a boost to a barrel, it's a focus to a barrel.
Focus barrel, yeah.
Did I say boost? Sorry. Yeah, focus to a barrel.
Yeah. And, okay, that's that's pretty what, similar to the
T-65? Yeah, but the other one doesn't have the bullseye.
No. But we'll come back to this after we see the title for the Black
Hawk. We're seeing a slightly better S-Foil's ability here, I would say.
Yeah.
So
talking about the S-Foils, do you think the T-70 will have, you know, movable wings like the T-65?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Based on the picture here, it's in the article. The S-Foils are closed. So I would say that they will.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then they have they're going the same way with the droid. So they have the BB standard droid and then BB-8 mm-hmm. as a specific yep. one, or yeah. any yep. a unique one. Mm-hmm. Kind of similar functionality, I would say.
Yeah. One of them gives you a BB-8 gives you both boost and a barrel.
Same. Yeah.
And the other one only gives you a barrel roll.
Right. Yeah. Both of them have two charges. Yes. And they're not reoccurring. They do not.
Nope.
You do not regain charges.
Yeah. Don't. But don't regenerate. Yeah.
Twice that's per just game. How the game is now.
Yeah.
You're getting charges, and I like that.
Yeah.
It's not something you do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yep.
But the Black One title.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yes. Let's get there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Black One title is gives you the slam action. Mm-hmm. And after you perform a slam action, lose one charge. And the card has one charge and you can't regenerate. So you have a one-time use slam. Mm-hmm. And then after your slam, then you may gain one iron token to remove one disarm token. And then a clause, if your charge is inactive, you cannot perform the slam action. So you can only use it once. But that means... Yep.
It's not going to be an expensive title, I think, because it's one-time use. Yeah. But if you manage to use this well... It's kind of a get out of jail free card.
I think kinda. It's get in there and kill or something fast card.
Yeah, also. You can also use it as that.
Yeah. And putting Black One on mm-hmm. like someone like Poe, who has initiative 6, and you have the S foils, which gives mm-hmm. you that linked actions mm-hmm. and because Poe has double reposition if he wants, and also he can actually leverage keep it closed and actually get 3 dice because he can reposition so well after everybody moved. So I think this all harmonizes pretty well together.
You should be able to get someone in the bullseye arc.
Yeah, more often than not.
Yeah. And Poe as an initiative 6, it's gonna be a heavy ace, I think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
here are some things that I get hung up on. So I find the wording on this card to be a little bit annoying. I don't understand why they don't just put the description on it. Spend one energy to perform a slam action.
Yeah.
They could save a whole lot of text and misunderstandings that towards the end of that card. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Oh, one thing I saw. the tagline under Poe Dameron. Did you read that? It says "Trigger happy flyboy."
Oh yeah.
So was that Leia that said that, or was that the other one who said that? The one.
The kamikaze.
kamikaze. on steroids.
Yeah. I forget which one of those. Which one of them said that in the movie?
Yeah, I
think Laura Dern one.
Yeah.
It was probably her. Yeah.
But I don't remember who said it. But the actress said it.
Yeah. Okay, then we have an initiative 4 guy.
Right.
Kare Kun. And it has the boost when it, while you boost, you may use the hard one template instead.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'm just gonna call this one Cody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Cody.
Yep.
We should make an alt art.
We should make an alt art. Oh, it's a girl though. Woman of action. So.
Ah, it's girly.
Yeah.
So. That doesn't matter.
Girly.
We can use a photo of Kari instead.
Ah, we can do that.
Yeah, we can true. Photoshop a helmet on him.
Yeah.
If we like.
Has he put on drag ever? Is there photos we can use?
I haven't seen them, but that doesn't confirm or deny anything.
No, right. Okay. That's something we have to look into.
Yeah. We can leave that open.
Yeah. I don't
know. Okay.
But before, I just want to mention one thing. Is the stat line on the T-70. It's a 3-2 like it was, and like the T-65 is, but it has gained a hull since 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
4-3.
Yeah. It's tough to chew through.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
All right. Yes.
7. Okay. Then we have an initiative 3-1.
Yeah.
Geoff Sea Striker. Who is a reckless bodyguard?
Reckless bodyguard. Okay.
It says after you lose one shield, gain one evade token.
Yeah. So basically, like the red ace in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah.
I wonder if they're gonna have tech slots on these, like they did earlier. If we're, if we're going to see tech upgrades. And we might see something similar to what we had when you could keep the evade.
It's not on the, you know, the what's it called? Quick build T70 card?
True.
But we saw tech upgrades in the resistance conversion kit, I think.
Yeah, but they don't have the slot in the quick, you know. Maybe not.
I think the tax slot is supposed to be a little bit resistance and first order thing.
Mm. Oh sure, yeah.
So, yeah, I would assume they would have a tax slot.
Could be, but I see where you're going with this aid because, but mind you that the highest one is a 4, so maybe a quick build with Poe with a tech slot would be a 5. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's true.
Mm.
Okay. It's interesting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Next pilot.
Okay, R2 Astromech, we have seen that.
Yep.
Lieutenant Bastian. Okay, after a ship at range 1 to 2 is dealt a damage card, you may acquire a lock on that ship. Okay.
Why the hell?
Doesn't say. That's actually a pretty nice ability.
Mm-hmm. That's a good ability.
It's really good. So you just focus, you get the target lock for free, and you are.
Yeah, a ship, not a friendly. Oh, I read it as friendly ship. I said,
oh,
why would
right.
you want that?
No.
Oh, any ship.
Yeah.
After
okay.
a ship.
Ah.
But still, it doesn't say a enemy ship, yeah. So.
No,
just
but
a ship. Yeah.
But this, I mean, they're re-releasing M9G8, which.
Yeah.
Which allows you to force a ship that you have blocked to re-roll an attack die.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So
yep.
You know this can apply to friendly ships as well.
Yeah, but then again, this is a may ability, so
sure.
You may acquire
yeah,
a lock
yeah, yeah.
on that ship. So.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And yeah,
and it's,
we talked about it.
And the
M9G8.
Wording is acquire a lock, not do an action. So you can right. do this multiple times in a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True.
All
okay.
Right.
That's. I think this one is a strong one.
Might be.
Really strong one.
Depends
yeah.
on points.
Yeah. Obviously. Obviously, everything depends on points.
Yeah.
We have no idea what the points are. So.
No, but it. You know, it's an initiative two, so it.
Mm-hmm.
for it to be usable, can't be that much more expensive than the generic tubes, I think.
But still with this ability. I mean, you saw Jess Pava in 1.0.
Yeah.
She was in Pilot Skill 3, was he? I think. Or 4? 3 or 4?
3, I think.
3, I think.
Yeah.
And then they used the Hero Droid to bump it.
It was a useless pilot skill, so, but she was really, really, really tough.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have the M9G8. That's basically the same as in 1.0. But it's resistance only.
Okay. It's when I'm still hooked on Bastion because it's dealt a damage card, not get a damage. You know, it's not not gonna be useful.
No,
alpha,
yeah, okay.
Alpha.
It's underneath the shields.
Yeah,
that's true.
So well, it's gonna be, you know.
Okay.
Not yeah, it's fine late game if we both fetch it and someone else survives. So.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Then we have initiative 4-1, just Black Squadron Ace. I hate that name because that should be Imperial thing. That's it's generic. And then we have a generic 3 Red Squadron Expert and a Blue Squadron Rookie, initiative of 1. Oh yeah, then we have another. This is the one, a named one, J. Chris Tubbs. After you fully execute a blue maneuver, you may choose a friendly ship at range 0-1. If you do, that ship removes one stress token.
This could be a pretty useful utility ship, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I also, you know, the subtitle touches my heart as well.
Loving father.
Loving father.
it's like a call sign that really strikes fear into your enemies.
Yep.
There's a loving father on my tail. Yeah, just turn around and hug him.
Guys, I need to mute for a second. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no problem.
He's gonna have a cry.
I am. I'm gonna wipe the tears. I'll be right back.
All right,
dude. He hurt you.
I know.
Okay.
Basically,
I think we're done with this article.
Yes.
I think it looks good.
Got a cool five option when performing a boost. That's gonna be interesting.
Yep.
Caught his card.
Okay, but we had some prize support.
Yeah.
Quick build party. Price support and the wave 1 tournament
in the article that released yesterday.
Yeah, I think those prices actually look pretty darn good.
Yeah, they're cool looking.
The quick build party, it has 3 quick build cards. As prices,
yeah.
Plus charge tokens.
I want those.
It's Thane Kyrell with S foil, stealth device, and outmaneuver.
Right.
And then there's Skull Squadron pilot with Markman ships, advanced proton torpedoes, and afterburners.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then is Iron Versio with proton torpedoes and Lone Wolf.
What?
Why would you put Lone Wolf on Iron Versio? Really?
I'm not sure.
She's supposed to be at range 1 out with someone and then just die?
Yeah. Yeah, but she can cancel one attack on herself.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know that.
A quick build thing is this is for a one ship list, right?
No, it's just the quick builds are, you know, they have those points. What was it called? You build a list with out of 8 points or something, you know. Vader was 5. Iron Versio is 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't remember what it's called. I never played a game like that. It's probably nice. But, yeah. And they have challenge missions for those... for those things here, you know, it says challenge missions. First challenge, you either it's just a you have to check in, either lose 3 shields or have an enemy ship at range 0. Okay, that's an easy one. Just have to bump someone and okay, check. Okay, and then play 2 games with 2 different factions. That's an easy one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or win a game using 1 unique pilot. Oh, yeah, using only 1 unique pilot. Yeah, okay. Unique and then just...
Generics,
yeah. Okay, then there's play a game using the escalation rules or play 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for each one you check, you get a single charge token. So you can end up with 3.
Cool.
Okay.
So basically just everyone gets.
Yeah. But still, it's only meant for 16 people, I think.
Ah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm
back.
Hey!
Okay.
There. Where are we?
Okay.
We're looking at the... the burn position
quick,
article.
Quick.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Quick build party.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I was, those are threat cards. I was talking about it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. No, we were just talking about the prices for that. It looks kind of nice, but it seems like it's only for 16 people, I think. Yeah, intended for as many as 16 players. So I think Nexus.
That's almost
should get two.
Yeah,
should get two of those.
Yeah, it's perfect for us actually.
Yeah, for a single evening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, then we have the Wave 1 tournament, and that's Battle of Yavin. Like everyone kind of knew.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you see those prices?
I think they're super nice.
Yeah, it's for 64 players, the tournament. Everyone gets a Black Squadron Ace, Altart. Everyone with at least 2 wins get an R2-D2 Altart.
And it looks super, super nice.
No, whoa,
Each undefeated player.
No. I, 2 wins are get the R2-D2. And then...
No, I'm... this is not the... Wave Championship cards. Those are...
These are thematic tournaments. Ah, right.
Yeah. This is the thematic tournament.
Yeah. Okay.
R2-D2, and each undefeated player wins a double-sided plastic card with Black Squadron Ace on one side and R2-D2 on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just a...
So
it's a 3-game tournament.
So these dual-sided cards that are so different, they mess with my organizational system.
Yeah, I know. I have to own 2 of them.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of difficult, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know.
I'm having trouble seeing the point in them, really.
Yeah, but those plastic ones are nice, though.
Yeah, they're nice. It's true.
I never use them. I never use my alt arts. Never.
You don't?
No. Well, I did it once because I was flying Soontir, Vader, and Black Squadrons, I think. And we were flying the Battle of Yavin tournament here in Iceland, and I was able to have my world's Vader card, my Soontir Altart, and I was just using Altarts.
Ah, right. No, that's cool.
I always use Altarts if I have them.
Yeah. I just put them in my book and look at them.
Yeah.
and touch yourself.
Okay.
Okay, but then moving down to the Wave Championship.
Yep.
There we go. But it, the same applies. These prizes are super nice.
Oh, yeah. And there is no participation prize, though. Except if you are living in Iceland. Iceland.
Everybody makes top 32. You make top 32.
Yeah, but obviously that's a Wave Championship. That's supposed to be like store championships, and there aren't really that many store championships around the world that make more than 32 people, actually.
Mm-hmm. Is that really so?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
With the store championships.
I kind of thought the ones that you know, where the in the bigger areas that you're getting like 60 players in the stores.
Maybe. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, oh, yeah, they are. I'm not saying they aren't. I'm talking about in general.
Yeah, mostly. Not very many.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would guess that like the Chicago area and even
California?
The FFG headquarters one, so grow a lot bigger.
SoCal probably as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh?
Okay, but top 32, double-sided, yay! Bounty Hunter and Gray Squadron Bomber.
Wait, what are we, Americans? We were talking about the sizes of tournaments in the USA. I mean, the UK tournaments probably go bigger.
Yeah.
Polish ones?
Do they? I don't think the Polish community is really that big, but it's really, really, really tough players.
You might be correct.
I'll just admit that I have no grasp of how big the store championships are. You know.
Obviously the Poland has a lot more players than we do, obviously. Mm. But I think mostly the Polish community is is combined with really, really strong players.
If I had any ambition towards being correct on this matter, I would go to List Juggler and check it out, but I can't be bothered. So, moving on.
We need to be wrong about something in this episode.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
obviously. Yep. Okay, yeah. That's top 32, the double-sided.
What do you guys think that one symbol in the bottom right corner of the Bounty Hunter card means? Do you think that means anything? Is that like...
It's a wave one.
It's a wave one. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
It's a Wave Championship thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then there is top 8, a set of 3 metal charts tokens. It's the same as in the Wave Quick Build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I gotta say, after seeing the Shield tokens and the Focus and Evade tokens, I really don't like those metal ones. It's like aluminium blend something. It's a metal that would float on water. It's so light. There's no chunk in it.
It's heavy.
Yeah, which is why I like the challenge coins.
Here you go, going all industrial on us. You mechanic, you.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Okay. Top 4, you get an acrylic seismic chart. Device.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like my bombs. I use my acrylic ones as well. Whenever I use bombs, which are...
When is that? Decent.
Yeah, I did it on Papa.
All right.
The other day.
Once. All right. And the champion gets so pretty double-sided plastic Bounty Hunter and Gray Squadron Bomber.
Yep.
Yeah.
They look nice.
Yeah, they look really nice.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
And also
the Wave Leader.
Wave Leader.
Even as the Provider Deluxe Kit introduced another set of prizes. It's one thing to claim a victory in a single tournament. It's another thing to fly successfully and land safely battle after battle after battle.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to probably do well in all of those three tournaments.
It's the player that wins the most matches in a thematic tournament, Wave Championship, and then the weekly tournament.
It's probably point based.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
I mean, if you land second place in all of those, you're probably winning it all. If the same guy doesn't win all of them, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
okay.
And the for way that, one you get what, Gisli?
Range rulers.
Yay! And a print.
Yeah, it's a double-sided art print.
Mm-hmm. So something featuring to put on a plaque.
Yeah, you have to make you have to make the plaque yourself, but hey. And then there's a Patronus card, which you get if you buy a product.
Oh, okay.
Wave one.
Patronizing.
For the first deluxe wave kit, the Patronus card is an extended art proton torpedoes.
Yep.
Okay. You just have to buy something to get that.
Yep. Okay.
That's not a prize. That's just...
No, it's like a participation thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I actually like those prices.
Except for the charge tokens.
Except for the charge tokens. But I like getting... I mean, it's bling.
Oh, sure.
I like all the blings, but I like the acrylic ones more. Or just acrylic tokens. More than the metal ones.
I wonder what the flip side of them looks like. I mean, is there going to be a difference when you flip them over? Are you going to be able to see that they're inactive? And how are you going to see that?
I would think they're just blank.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
The
Could be.
I mean, the shield tokens were blank on the other side.
Oh, were they? Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Ah, that's no fun.
No, I know.
No, but they were shield tokens for 2.0. No, 1.0.
You think so? You think so? I know they came in 1.0, but they were intended for 2.0. Definitely.
Not if they're blank on the other side.
Yeah. They have said, I think it's in the tournament regulations, you can take them off if you like. You don't have to flip them over.
Oh, okay.
You can use all of the components from 1.0. But you can't use, you know, charge token as shield tokens and
it needed to be really distinct, you know, what the tokens were symbolizing.
Yeah. But obviously that's just fair play, you know.
Getting off topic, I think that they were blank on the other side means they were for I don't know. Doesn't really matter.
No.
Anyway.
I'm still taking my tokens off.
I'm getting used to flipping that shit.
I put a red sticker on the back of my shield tokens though. Just in case.
No, I take them off I take the shield tokens off as well.
They mix, I think.
Mix what?
Yeah. If I don't take them off, my head just isn't there on flipping them over.
Still count the just number of tokens instead of how many
tokens. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. But anyways, talking about something difficult. I just a quick thing. In-game calculations, because everything is half point now.
Oh my
and
god,
you have
that's so tough.
How is that going for you?
I'm sucking at it.
I was really, really, really good at it in 1.0.
Same.
I knew in every single game, I knew my win conditions.
Same.
What I needed to do. Now I'm just all over the place.
Yep.
I'm not talking about, calculations for whether I should take focus or evade or something like that. That's everything the same.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about win conditions.
Yeah, I've killed that ship is half point. That ship is half point, and he has a chance to half point my ship over there, and he has half points on that, and that ship is dead. How am I at point? Am I winning or losing? I have no idea.
It's true. The game state is in constant flux in this regard, yeah. And it of course becomes really interesting. You know, at the same time, it makes you think harder about things, and it makes everything a little bit, I think, more fragile than it was before.
Yeah, and if you lose the initial engagement, and if you were flying in 1.0, you would say, okay, this is basically a game over. Now you actually have a slight chance to come back because of the half point rule.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, undoubtedly the half point rule, no doubt, is a good addition. I think there's no debating that. The amount of extra effort that it takes, I think, in game is something that maybe, well, at least I didn't actually anticipate.
Yeah.
Especially since you're not allowed to write anything down.
Yeah, you can't keep notes. Okay, I'm at 64 points.
Okay, there's, like it was before, you couldn't take notes. Except if it were, you know, public information.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's still that way.
You could probably write down the points cost for the opponent's ship. That's a public information.
Yeah.
You know, and keep the book open. I mean, your opponent should know the point cost of their ship, right?
I mean, if you're at a tournament, you should have a printout with the point cost.
Yeah. At least in the beginning, but after that.
Yeah, you know? I think what I would like to see is that it would just be part of the app or something that when you print out a tournament list, then that it shows the half point values of the ships. I think I was listening to another podcast where something was being discussed around this, and as I understand it, the Yasid one doesn't include it, but I haven't checked if the FFG squad builder does.
It does.
It does.
It does, yeah. But yeah. In the wrong way.
Oh.
No, in the right
which
way.
Which is why...
current right
no,
way.
Because the tournament regulations say one thing, and the apps does another thing.
What does the
tournament
does the
regulations
app
are
up or?
No, it rounds down, which is why Coruscant rounded down.
What?
They changed the rules for Coruscant.
It rounds up.
No, did they?
It rounds up.
They rounded up at Coruscant.
Yeah.
Did you? Maybe you're getting it the other way around.
I might be. It used to be rounded down, and the app rounds it up, and that's why they had Coruscant rounded up.
Yeah. True.
But yeah, the squad builder has it in there. If you export it to PDF, you get actually the points and also the half points for that each particular ship.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you get a printout from the you know the official builder, you got all the information you need from your right there.
I think this is also just a question of approach. I mean, I think maybe for the first part, one of the reasons why it's difficult for the more seasoned players to realize what the win condition is now is that our mind is constantly going back to the older version. It's not just the half points, it's also the fact that the stats have changed. So you know, targets that were one way are now a different way. Defenders have an extra shield. Most ships, other ships, have fewer shields, but maybe one more hull or something. So these things have changed a little bit. And I think the unlearning of what was learned previously is important in this aspect. So
it takes time,
but I completely agree. This is my mind is at least quite often, you know, reverting back to what I was accustomed to before.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Yep.
Right. And I think actually it would be nice manners if you have a list that you're going to take to like a game night to have actually a printout.
Yeah. I think that's true. Smart.
Because then you get really the training of actually getting your win conditions right.
Mm-hmm. I've actually started taking notes of every single game I play now.
Can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
on game nights I can. I'm not writing during the game.
I'm kidding.
I'm writing before the game and after the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if this happens, Håkon, and he's playing against you and he starts writing stuff down, just call the judge.
I'm just gonna rage.
Judge? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I'm here.
Table flip.
I'm here. Disqualified. I win the game.
Go home.
Karma's a bitch, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we started talking about Coruscant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's segue into
we
that.
We were gonna. Yeah, it was Ed's idea to make a new segment about taking maybe one established medalist and try to explain
or understand how it works.
Or understand it, how it works.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually, you know, a practical segment. Are you guys sure?
You make it sound so dirty. Jesus.
Remember, this is Aid's idea. I'm not smart enough
not
for
smart.
This.
It's fine. We'll try to get through it. I'm sure we can fuck it up somehow.
Okay.
Of course we can.
Let's try. Well, okay. Well, first off, I would hardly call this a meta list. This is, of course, a list from a tournament where the rules were skewed, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, still, it because it was Coruscant, and obviously the rules were a little skewed because each list had to take one upgrade card, mm-hmm. which was costed at 0 points,
yep.
and Boba Pilot was banned, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we saw what was good, what is good.
Yep. So
even if you can't shoot something at Boba, it's still good unless you go against Boba, you know?
What? Sure, okay.
You have to, no, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Even if you have, in the absence of Boba, it's still good.
Yeah. It's still, we can see what is good and what is not.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Boba is good, but we were able to see what else is good.
Yeah. And sure. It's just it's like a taste of what people like playing and what combinations and what they're using.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but this list with that was flown by Tom Forstner.
Yeah, the winner of Coruscant.
Yeah, he was flying Suntir with Ruthless,
mm-hmm.
and Ruthless was there because it was mandatory.
Yep.
He was flying a Super Vader with obviously Darth Vader with supernatural reflexes, fire control system, and
that's it.
And he was flying Redline with trajectory simulator, proton torpedoes, and proton bombs.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah. So.
Redline taking out the bulk of the damage. In the start,
yeah,
and the win condition is Vader, just keeping Vader alive for the
basically,
end game,
basically.
Right.
Yep. I mean, you have massive board control with Redline and his torpedoes and bombs with the trajectory simulator.
Trajectory. Yeah. Huge no-fly zones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, you're seeing their Redline only with proton bombs. Often I see, you know, seismic bombs as well.
They're really nice, especially for board control.
Yeah, because you're, you know, trajectorying them 5 forward,
yep.
and then there's range 1 from the bomb, which has a certain amount of size,
mm-hmm.
to a rock,
uh-huh.
and range 1 from that rock. That's basically range 7 or 8 or something. You're doing damage
with seismic. Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. With seismic, it's ridiculous.
In that regard, it can reach further. But in other regards, you can put it, you know, in between two or three rocks, and then choose which rock is going to explode. So, in a sense, you have such a massive no-fly zone with the seismic.
Yeah, but this list doesn't have it, so...
No. But I can see why you wanted to get the proton bombs, because you're probably expecting aces, you know, in this tournament for Coruscant. There's a lot of really competent players who like playing AC lists, and getting crit into an ace can be devastating in a new meta, a new game.
He was probably expecting a lot of interceptors because of the mandatory ruthless, right? Because he had to have a ship with the EPT slot or talent slot, to be able to have ruthless. And I think the interceptors were the best ships, you know, to take that ruthless.
Many of the matches that I saw on stream were also, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 ship builds, even. Four ship builds were probably the most common that I noticed. Mm-hmm. I didn't see everything, of course, but I think to that degree, because you're doing area damage, right? So you're doing damage to multiple ships with proton bombs, and I think it's a good call, you know, coming in from that. So.
Mm-hmm. And it's crit.
Yeah, I think Travis the Johnson, he took down the numbers, and it was like 3.7.
Correct.
Ships
on average. Yeah.
On average, something like that. By the way, that was a really nice document from Travis to see from Coruscant.
Mm-hmm.
Just over and under thing they did.
Yeah.
And they took down the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
So proton bombs and proton torpedoes, really, really nice against ships with no shields.
Yeah,
and
Redline comes in really strong in delivering actually the proton torpedoes because of the high initiative and your two actions.
Yeah, it's actually acquiring a target lock after you take an action. So you can maintain two locks. So it's a pretty good ability for Redline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and being able to shoot off those munitions, having that double modifier or even repositioning and then a target lock. So, you know, you have repositioning, you can move that into a red target lock, so you can acquire up to 2 target locks a turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But what about the beginning board state? How do you set up your ships? I'm just looking at it thinking I would put Sun Tirfell on one side, Vader on the other side, and just flank with whoever,
mm-hmm.
and Redline maybe in the middle, just to go to the bulk of the other ships and use the opposite ace to flank?
As a rule, what? Sure. That's probably something I would do as well. But it's maybe not if you have another Redline coming at you from the center of the other board, or the other side of the board.
Yeah, then they're just Redlining each other.
Well, I mean, I haven't played Vader or Sun Tirfell to any degree really, ever. I've tried them a little bit, but I'm not a big player of them. But you know, I'm closely acquainted with probably the biggest Darth Vader player here in Iceland, Stefan. And usually he plays Darth Vader really cagey and tends to have another ship around him to protect Vader. At first, just to make sure that Vader survives into the end game. So you know, based on that strategy, probably I would put Darth Vader somewhere close to Red Line to keep him a little bit back, and then have Sun Tir somewhere on the flanks. But that's from an observational standpoint, not an experienced standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But okay, after flying Vader both 1.0 and 2.0. Mm-hmm. I flew Vader a lot in 1.0 as well. That Vader is just a different kind of beast.
Okay.
You can't fly 2.0 Vader thinking it's like 1.0 Vader. It's not the same. Which is why I think Stefan doesn't like Vader now.
Oh, he does it.
It's
okay.
It's missing the boost.
Missing the boost.
Engine effort.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the afterburners. But, yeah.
Yeah, but that's 2-time use and mm-hmm. it costs. I have actually never used afterburners on my Vader now, because supernatural reflexes it's bonkers good. It's it's ridiculous. Really.
Yep.
And if you can manage to keep Vader alive for the end game, you have basically won the game.
Yeah, but that's when it goes back to what I was saying, is that, you know, keep him close to somebody who can protect him, take the fire and keep mm-hmm. him a little bit back so that he survives into that end game.
Yeah. But then again, you have to be using Vader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To shoot.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't you just flank with Vader instead?
No, that's a good point. Good point. Mm. How do you beat this list?
Kill Vader.
Yeah.
Right. I think.
But initially, I think you have to kill Redline.
Yeah, Redline. Well, the thing with Vader is like. Vader is like a whisper in second edition. Or in X-Wing, sorry. I'm mm-hmm. still getting used to it. It's like whisper. And the thing, you have to have another big ship with it. You have to have something to, you know, like Haakon was saying, take the bulk of the heat to be able to keep it alive.
Decoy. Like red light.
Decoy, yeah.
Yeah.
But the decoy must be able to, you know, do some damage.
Yeah.
Like which red is line red does. Lines. Yeah. I think Soontir is there only because he has the points for it and he can fit Ruthless.
Yeah. And Soontir fell for like a naked 52 points. He's really good.
Yeah, it is.
it's crazy good.
But the same with Soontir as Vader. You have to fly. It's a different kind of ship
sure.
than it was.
Oh yeah for sure. Yeah. He's not as unkillable as he was. He's if you can get a couple of shots on Soontir, chances are you can kill him.
I mean, in 1.0, it was probably the best jouster in the game, which is funny to say for a 3-hull ship with no shields.
Yeah, exactly.
But in this game, you have to fly aggressive to utilize his ability.
Yeah, to get that ultra arc. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in a almost 4-ship meta, a 3-ship build with high pilot skill wins.
Yeah.
Which for me is interesting.
Yeah.
And maneuvering is a bigger part of the game. And if you maneuver last, that mm-hmm. is a win. We even saw it in Jesper Lindstrom's games, where he had the massive bid. He was just
50 points.
Yeah, and he was able to outmaneuver most things. He went without a loss in the Swiss.
Well, I say if you need the bid, just fly better. Right?
Sure. But it can't hurt.
No, it can't hurt. But still, you have 2 initiative 6 guys with a massive repositional potential.
Mm-hmm.
You have Soontir Fell that can boost or barrel roll.
Yep.
Boost and barrel roll, or barrel roll and boost. And then you have Vader with supernatural reflexes. Mm-hmm. If you're flying Vader well enough, he's not getting shot at. Ever.
Well, if he's flying against another PS6, Initiative 6, with who moves after him? Sure.
Yeah.
He is getting shot at.
Yeah. Since you have 3 ships, right. Okay. I like this list, though.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
I mean, it scares me, so it's probably a good list.
But talking, sorry, I got to mention this because those mandatory cards at Coruscant.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have talked about that, but okay. Imperials got the Ruthless, only needed to have an EPT on their in their squad. Every single card costed 0 points there.
Nope.
Ruthless is a it's an okay card. It costs what, 3 points or
one.
Something? 1 point, sorry.
Yep. One.
Yeah. It's Fearless that costs three. Scum got the Boba Fett, which is just making every list worse. And Rebels got the Leia card. And Leia card is really, really interesting.
It's good.
It is good. And getting it for 0 points, it's really good.
Oh, sure. But fitting obviously Leia into your having a crew carrier and having a crew slot, you know, occupied by Leia is a bigger constraint than only having to fit one EPT in your list.
Yeah, it is, obviously. But that's really the Rebel thing. You usually have some ship with a crew slot, right?
Sure.
And many of them are really, really cheap. Put Fen Rao there in the Sheeta Pete.
Sure. But that...
Really, 50 points or something? Really good ability still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. I mean,
I think I saw that sometime over the tournament. I think some lists were utilizing a Sheeta Pete with Leia. So.
And, yeah, her ability, I think, is really good.
I
maybe
agree.
Not.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit overcosted.
Mm-hmm.
Slight, but still good.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 8 points, it's quite a commitment to build a list, because that kind of means that you're building a list around it, right? You have an upgrade card that expensive, so it becomes the main focus of your list, and I haven't been able to think of a strategy that would allow for that by itself, you know, and building around that. But as a filler, like you were able to do it at Coruscant, it's absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay. Anything more you wanna say about this list, Ail? You have started this list, right?
Me?
Yeah.
I haven't flown it.
No.
I think it's an interesting an interesting lead into where the meta is heading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But I still think the meta is, it hasn't settled yet.
Well, of course not. I'm just talking about where it's heading. I think it's high PS and more bomb shenanigans. So
bombs are obviously really, really good because it's auto damage.
Yeah,
but I'm not that sure about everyone flying PS6 or Initiative 6. Sorry, I think the main goal is going to be Initiative 5, having a single ship of Initiative 5 in your list or something like that, because that's the big one.
Well, there aren't that many ships that are Initiative 6, unfortunately.
No, there's Vader, Soontir, Vets, and Fen Rao, I think.
Yeah, Poe now coming up.
Poe obviously coming up, yeah. And, yeah.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, you bid for the fives.
Yeah.
Really.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you should really bid that much if you have an Initiative 6 ship. If you're only bidding for Initiative 6, unless you have Vader.
Why? Because Vader has to Moonblast? You mean that? Or?
Yeah, only because of other Vaders, I think. But still, I'm seeing guys with, you know, Initiative... No, with Pilot Skill, I don't know. they're doing like 11, 12 point bits or something. Obviously, if you don't have anything to put on the put it on, then you're just banking those points, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, can't lose them unless you lose the whole game.
Mm-hmm. So you're just banking those points.
Yeah.
And that's nice. If you're like Jesper, he had those 15 points of bit.
Yeah.
That were 15 points there that you had to kill all of his list to get. So.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
So, the meta will be one Darth Vader, get it the hell out, and just rest bits a bit. No,
I haven't been flying Vader recently.
Yeah, I noticed what you've flown. Tell us about it.
I started flying, trying out Jesper's list.
Yeah.
A little bit with a minor tweak. I wasn't using Papa crew on it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I put proximity mines on Pelop, and proximity mines on Pelop is really good.
All right.
Okay, but yeah, I flew like three games there and won two and lost one.
Okay.
But then I found out, should I mention it? I really don't want to mention it. it's my list.
It's yours. Everybody in Iceland knows list. It. You don't want to spoil it out into the big wide world.
Yeah. It's my list. I like this list. I've been flying some of all fears.
Yes.
Four Sigma Squadron pilots in the TIE Phantoms, all of them with Duke.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that is nasty enough. You don't need anything else.
You don't need anything else. It's okay. It's a flyers list. You have to fly it really well and.
Yeah.
If you don't, you can just melt. But when you are able to fly it well, it's extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
It
is so hyper maneuverable.
If you're going against red line or a lot of missiles,
mm-hmm.
it can melt.
Sure.
And you can't joust that. You can't joust just about anything else.
Yeah.
And if someone is stupid enough to joust you against that list, fine by me.
Sure.
I have four Phantoms, all of them with Duke.
And all of them are Initiative 4, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's yeah. great about it as well.
That's
a formidable list, for sure. It's I think, you know, from what I've seen, the thing is that it's just so unpredictable. You never know where you're going to have those ships, and you know, you can play around with messing around in your opponent's mind any which way that you'd like to, and so
it's
it's a very scary list.
Yeah,
but still, you're messing around your mind as well.
Yeah, so the strategy probably is to not engage and just wear you out, right?
Yeah. But the good thing about the Phantoms, you can fly really, really slowly, if you like,
yeah.
by decloaking to the sides and then just one banking or something.
Yeah.
Or you can decloak forward and then just four forward or three bank or something like that and go really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really unpredictable, and it's really it's quite easy to kill box.
Sure.
Other spaceships just make kill box after kill box after kill box, and if you're starting to, you know, lose a Phantom, you just decloak forward and 4K behind them, and then they have to shoot at something else.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
for sure, it's a good list.
Yeah, it's a good list.
Yeah.
It's a very good list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if it's one that they may have overlooked. To some degree, but
no.
Yeah,
I actually don't think
with the decloaking and Duke, I think
yeah.
it is.
I think three Phantoms in a list should probably be the max that you
I don't think so, because they don't have the target lock anymore. It's really the only modification they can use is focus.
Okay, well, fair enough. And plus they don't have the advanced cloaking device, so they're a little bit more fragile as well to that degree.
Yeah.
So maybe they're a little bit more easy to burn down, but still, from an attacking standpoint, they are, you know, very, very, very powerful.
They are.
Yeah.
But like I said, you have to fly them well.
Yeah.
And I'm quite lucky that I've been flying Phantoms since day one, I think.
Yeah. So you have 12 dice that potentially have Duke, or almost definitely have Duke.
Yep.
And then potentially focus modifiers, and you're very unlucky. I think actually I ran the stats on your list after Thursday, and expected hits with the Duke and the focus, if you're able to single out a target, would be 8.5, I think, against two dice ships, agility ships, yeah. So you know, you have a lot of firepower in there, and you're pushing through a lot of damage each turn.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then again, it melts really, really fast.
It can.
Yeah, but one thing in it, those generics are PS4s.
Yeah.
Thematically, it's cool because you have to be a really elite pilot to step into a Phantom, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
But,
I know.
But being that cheap and as an initiative 4 with 2 and the evade token all the time, I don't know about the cost. I'm not sold on it. I think this is
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
There are so many other things that are easier to fly and do more damage in that kind of way. I mean,
it's just about staying out of the kill boxes. I don't know, that's something, you know, it's probably, you know, trying to keep some debris between you and the Phantoms and make it so that they have, you know, don't have a lot of space to maneuver in. I mean, there are all sorts of ways that you can mitigate the danger from this, and I think when you're playing a list like that, turn zero becomes really, really vital for you. And mapping out the trajectory of your flight paths, so that, you know, that you're able to anticipate, you know, where you're going to be engaging. That becomes very important against something like that.
You have to fly in a way that you're, you know, closing out the decloaking paths.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm going on my feeling of how I would feel if you, Gisle, would be putting that list across the table against me.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel terrible. I would think, how the hell am I gonna get out of this mess?
Yeah.
But it's I don't know. It's just, yeah.
There are so many ways to fly this list. If I would play against another person flying this list, that person would probably fly it much differently than I do.
Yeah, sure. So. But I'm just talking about the feeling of going against the list. It for me is not a pleasant one.
just stay in the rocks. Phantoms don't like rocks.
Yep.
Yeah.
stay in them and not on them. Easy enough, right?
Yeah.
Right. I'm giving away my secrets here.
That's good. Keep going.
Yeah. I'll just fly into the middle of the board, into all the rocks, and the Phantoms will know I'm there. And you were talking about making kill boxes. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Another competitions. Nordic Nationals is this weekend, or when this show's come out, it was this
last weekend.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
And the winner was Freyr.
Frail. And why not Gunni?
Oh, I, no, is Gunni going as well? I thought it was just Frail. Oh, okay, well, they tied then.
They had to do a final salvo.
Yeah, well, they had to play Looping Chewy for it.
Yeah. Okay, obviously we don't know who won or what list, but I am looking forward to it. Yeah. I will have my YouTube open for the stream.
Yeah. Do you know if anyone is streaming? Is or, First Earth there or?
No. It's I think it's a Stockholm Vampas.
Is it Benson or
cool. Maybe
no, it's no. not Benson. It's okay. not Benson. No. Okay. He's not going, so.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yep.
Yep. I will be shooting a proper gun at proper targets this weekend.
Yeah, you're going hunting.
Yes, right. Going hunting.
How manly of you.
Yeah, it's a manly man.
Cool.
Did you guys talk about the Spanish nationals already? Because
nope.
I had to drop off for a bit.
No, we were waiting for you.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because
because
you've been flying the winners list.
The winners list, yeah, and it's actually quite interesting. It's an interesting list, and I was pleasantly surprised by it as well, because it didn't look so. When I read it the first time, I was trying to figure out, you know, how it would work, but it actually works kind of well.
Mm-hmm. It was flown by Paolo Rocca.
Paolo Rocca, yes.
Rocca, yeah. I hope I'm pronouncing it right-ish.
But probably both of us are pronouncing it wrong. But No. That's the place.
No.
The venue.
That's
Paolo
not
Rocca is the venue, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a venue.
I was like, not following where you were going. What?
It sounds like a name, sorry. It's Carlos Garcia.
I hope that's right.
It says it. First place, Carlos Garcia.
Yeah.
Garcia. I think it's that's Spanish. Garcia.
Garcia?
Garcia.
I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, we are Icelandic. We can butcher stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting list, so I decided to give it a spin and played a game this Saturday actually, and was able to pull out a win. The real trick to this one is using Forlom in the right way.
You wanna tell the listeners how the list is.
Yep. Sure, I can do that. Yeah, because they're listeners, right? Yeah. Okay. So it's Pelob with Trickshot, Multicrow, then it's Boba Fett flying his Fire Spray with the Marauder title, Debris Gambit, and Triple Low, and Han Solo Cruise, and then it's Forlom with Advanced Sensors.
And I gotta say one thing.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep.
You said Boba Fett with his Marauder title.
Ah, well, with the... I think I was firing his Fire Spray.
His Fire Spray.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
with the
sorry.
Marauder
okay,
title.
Okay, okay,
I think
okay.
That's what I said, actually. Yeah. We'll listen to it afterwards.
I was going to slap you around.
Yeah. I deserve it if I said that. So.
Yeah, but instead we'll just slap Gisley around. Go ahead, take the hover.
Maybe. But I think, you know, I've flown it twice. Was able to pull out a win the first time, and then I played Kaori last night, flying a three ship variation of your four ship Phantom.
Yeah, Kaori told me about it.
Yeah. And
he dropped two of them for a Whisper.
Yeah, dropped two Sigmas for a Whisper, and had Vader crew, so it was Cloak and Choke Whisper.
Mm-hmm.
But the trick here is with this list, this particular list is using Forlom in the right way, and so he has a really interesting ability where you get a calculate when you successfully execute a red maneuver, and then you have advanced sensors, so you can actually do an action in advance, and if you pull off a red maneuver, then you get a calculate as well. So you have kind of this new type of of action economy on Forlorn, which it didn't have before. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. you know, the magic behind it is being able to pass off the stress in the end phase. Mm-hmm. And putting Forlorn in the position where you can pass it off to an enemy ship or even to a friendly ship, mm-hmm. Just to be able to repeat that that double action economy makes mm-hmm. Forlorn a very strong mm-hmm. component of this. And also what I've seen, and this was apparent, there was a competition last weekend, or when this airs, the weekend before, mm-hmm. Crossroads, which Gold Squadron podcast was streaming from, and mm-hmm. a list similar to this one actually made the finals there, and mm-hmm. lost in the finals because, in my view, the way that I saw it, the player with Forlorn sort of put Forlorn in the center of the fight and didn't cover him well, and he lost Forlorn mm. really early, which made it really mm. hard, because that control component is just so strong in this list. So mm. yeah, but in this list it's also really apparent how good Pelob is now.
He's oh yeah,
super good
with the title.
Yeah,
with
well title. Yeah, yeah, well, it goes without it's saying kind of that you're gonna put the title on him. But
I actually like putting Debris Gambit and Engine Upgrade on Pelob.
On Pelob, yeah.
If I have the mm-hmm. if I have the points.
Yeah.
And obviously, obviously proximity mines if I have the points. Because with Debris Gambit and all of the focuses and Engine Upgrades and the prox mines, it kind of makes Pelob almost unkillable.
Well, I actually don't think that you need the engine upgrade on Pelob, because once you've got those two focus tokens, you don't have to be afraid to have to do a red maneuver as a boost, because you have the red boost already. So
no, I
don't think that you need that.
I know that, but still, you like to keep your dial open because it doesn't have that many blue maneuvers.
No, but he has a turret.
Yeah, I know, but you still. I at least didn't want to use my actions for a turret.
No, no.
Because I had Debris Gambit. I was because that.
Yeah. Okay. So you wanted to keep that open. Okay. Well, I mean, fair enough. But this is a solid list, and it's extremely fun to fly.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody enjoy the Hawk now. I like playing Kyle the Tyrant and using the multi-grow.
Yeah, I don't like the Rebel Hawk. It's only because it's a Rebel Hawk.
Thank you.
I still think I like the Scum one. Or at least I like Pelob. Because Pelob's ability is ridiculously good.
It is.
And even in the old game, the 1.0, Pelob's ability was really, really good. It was just the chassis that was so bad.
Mm-hmm. And now he's retaining the same ability, really, and in a game there's less action economy, so
mm-hmm. yeah.
So he's a monster.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, we're at 1.5 hours.
Yep.
Should we call it a quits? Oh, I was going to say one thing.
Yeah.
Patreon.
Woo.
Filthy internet dollars. We have sent out everything. I hope everyone has received their Patreon stuff. And if not, wait a few days maybe, or just contact us. Me. Or just contact us through Patreon. If not,
or just send us something on Facebook, because we're in the Northern Atlantic and we're lonely.
I'm in full mode on doing the Patreon stuff for November, December stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too.
Yep.
I'm not going to say what it is until later. So, anyways, enough about Patreon stuff. just
all right, got that out of the way.
Yeah, everyone, just thank you, thank you, thank you. It helps us a lot. Okay, should we call it a quits?
Håkon, yeah. Do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Well, since we're running out of time, I just wanna say how excited I am for the new Nexus store.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know, I visited them on Sunday, and mm-hmm. the store looks great, actually.
Yeah.
And took a little peek into the new gaming room, and
it's huge.
It's huge. So I'm really looking forward to having tournaments there and well, game nights actually as well. So that's going to be really exciting.
We are going to be able to host 100 plus players.
Probably. I think so. So
finally, we can have a 100 plus tournament.
We can hold a system open. 70 international players to come to Iceland to be able to do that. So please come.
Would only need a system open.
Yeah.
Right.
Or a Euros or a Nordics.
Yeah.
Remember what Jim Morrison said in Wayne's World.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, build it and they will come.
They will
book
come.
Them and they will come.
That's true.
All right. There's actually a couple of scientific documents that have said quite the opposite, but we'll do that. we won't go into that.
Gisli, he's the smart one.
Yeah, he's the smart one.
So on that, I think, but that's it. Just shout out to the community, the GGIW crew, and
shout out to everyone.
Yes,
listeners, I don't have a special shout out, just listeners, thank you.
Yeah, same here. I don't have anything special to shout out, so I'm just gonna shout out to Jesper Winström, because I always shout him out. For no apparent reason. So I'm good.
Okay. I'm Gisli.
I am Aid.
I'm Håkon.
Yeah. And we're just going to say goodbye. Right.
All
right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Well done saying your name, Håkon. It's really, really well done.
Yeah. Well, he said like I should do like this send off something, so. I think I'm Håkon. That's like I am Groot. That's
good. I am Groot.
I am Groot. That's something, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good.
I could go with that.
Yeah. I mean, you maybe have to practice it a little bit, but I think you're almost there.
Get my Vin Diesel voice going. I am Groot. No, I don't know. I don't know if I have that in me. Mm. Oh, we're still on, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh no!
This is going with the episode, for sure. So I'm gonna stop the recording thing.
Yep. Dang. Me too. Are we doing it on three or after three?
Wait, one, two. Ah, fuck it. Let's just go. Wait.